B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
That's not true!
It's ridiculous.
Oh my God!
Oh, Anthony off today. It is Jason Mertedis at the announcer's desk. On 97.5 The Fanatic here on the 12th day of the month of August, the year 2020. The day the journey truly begins. The return of sports is now well underway. And in a lot of ways, it's been extremely exciting. In some ways, extremely frustrating. Other ways, left scratching your head. But the journey begins today for the Philadelphia Flyers and the quest for something that has not found its rightful place back in Philadelphia for 45 years, despite the fact that the team has gone to the finals six times since winning the cup. And now an opportunity in a very unique situation for the Flyers. So much to talk about today, Andrew. I'm so excited to be here today because, you know, I love hockey. What happened yesterday in a 6.5 hour game, the fourth longest game in NHL history, five overtimes, and it takes us back to 2000 and the Flyers' five overtime win against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and Keith Primeau, who you heard this morning on the morning show talking about that. Of course, he scored the game-winning goal. But I want to talk to people today about how excited you are, because the playoffs in sports are the best. The regular seasons are great because we get game in and game out and we learn the identity, the makeup. You go into the playoffs a lot of times knowing what you have or feeling like you know what you have. And there's other times you go into the playoffs and you still got a lot of questions that need to be answered, like the Sixers do at this point, and injuries that they're dealing with, unfortunately. But right now we're heading into the playoffs for the Flyers. They have the second best odds, according to Vegas, and that doesn't mean a thing. That is no guarantee. And if we saw anything in the best of five play-in round for the NHL, is that anything can happen in this very unique circumstances of teams in a bubble, in hub cities, in Toronto and Edmonton. And we see that upsets always happen in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's round one. They always happen. Last year, the Lightning got swept. They were the best team in the regular season by miles, and they got swept by an 8 seed in Columbus last year. Then they went five overtimes last night in game one of the rematch, but this time Tampa came out on top. But there's something about the playoffs and a team that you feel like can go on a run that gets you even more excited. Now, when it comes to the Sixers, people feel like they're just going to get bounced because of the coach, because the players are either injured or they haven't proven it yet. And there's a lot of players on this Flyers team that haven't proven it yet. A lot. There's a lot to still learn. I heard Mark talking about it. Who's going to be the Danny Briere for the Flyers? Is it going to be Travis Konecny? Who's going to be the Ville Leino of 2010? Who is that guy? Is that going to be a JVR? Or is that going to be a Joel Farabee? Or who is it going to be? We don't know those answers just yet, but what we feel like we know is this team is so deep that they have the chemistry, the makings, and the leadership, and the coaching to do something special. So, Flyer fans, today's your day. This is for you today. As luck would have it, you got me. So, I want to talk about this. And part of talking about this game tonight is also expunging what's happened in the past. Now, way back when the Eagles went back and went on that Super Bowl run, and I was working with Harry, we did a vision board type thing. And what we did is we talked about the great moments in Eagle history to bring good vibes. But what we also did was we brought in the Bagster and we expunged all of the heartbreak moments, all of the bad things. We got rid of all of it. I always liken it to Quint in Jaws when he's telling the story about the USS Indianapolis. 1,100 men went into the water that day. 316 men came out. The sharks took the rest. and they're telling the stories and they're pulling up their shirt and going, this is a 14-foot tiger. That scar. Well, that's Patrick Kane. We have the scars from over the years, but we got to expunge them. We got to put them in the bags, or we got to get rid of them, get them out of our mind for this run and focus on positivity and doing great things and the vision of what could be. Now, this is very unique because you're in a situation where if any team were to win it right now, there's no parade, and that sucks. There is none of that right now. That's just not in the cards and probably won't be by early October. But you still get the glory of winning it and the enjoyment of the process, the battle of it. And thank goodness the Flyers never listened to the people that said that they should do what the Sixers did and tank, because that was not the way to go in that league. And you see where they are now, and they are a team that can do some real damage. Now, there's a lot of young players on the Flyers team. And I want to ask you this, Andrew, and I want to ask everybody this. Who's going to be the guy? Who's going to be the man? Who is going to, on the biggest stage in playoffs and sports, is going to step up and be the difference between being a team that is dangerous and a team that can go all the way? What is the X factor? Who is the X factor that's going to be the difference this time? Because as I mentioned right off the top, after winning back-to-back cups in 74 and 75, Flyers have gone to the cup final six times. I have not found a comparable in sports where you've gone to a final six times and every time you got beat, you got knocked out by a dynasty. 76, they lost to Montreal, who won four straight cups. 1980, they lost to the Islanders, who won four straight cups. In 1985 and 87, they lost to the Oilers, who won five cups in 7 years. 97, they lost to Detroit, won three cups with that core. And then in 2010, they lost to the Blackhawks, who won three cups in 5 years. That is a total of five different opponents and 20 cups with those cores. Who's going to be the guy that's going to overcome that? Who's going to be the man? Who's going to be the guy that grabs it this time and takes you to that other level that you need? You need players to go to that level if you want to win. Nick Foles went to that level. Cole Hamels went to that level. And Ryan Howard. Other players, too. It takes more than one. But who's going to be the guys that, if they're going to end the 45-year drought, are going to be the ones that you go, that guy elevated his play? Andrew, who's the first guy that comes to mind that needs to elevate his play and be not a good player, but great?
Yeah, I mean, outside the goaltender, because that's obviously the first thing that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the man who's been kind of quiet in the round robin so far, except for the second game he had two assists against the Caps. It's Travis Konechny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a guy, obviously, we know the stuff that he does on the ice outside of his play, right? He's the guy that barks at the other team and gets in their brains and stuff like that. But I want to see, and not that he's played poorly in the round robin tournament.
His line has been phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, they've been great, but like, I want to see him really take that next step, because we saw him take that next step in the regular season, especially when they went on that run. When they went 9-1 in their last 10 games before the stoppage of play, he was playing at a totally unreal level.
Yeah, it was an all-star for him this year,
exactly.
Too.
Yep. So I want to see him get back to that. You know, we had Bouchon the other day, and he was saying how, you know, maybe some guys weren't taking it really intensely in the round robin tournament because there's no implications if you lost. Like, you could fall to the four seed, but you weren't getting eliminated from playoff contention.
Yeah, you weren't playing for your playoff life.
Exactly. Now, it looked like the Flyers were the team that went out there and played, and because they found the way that they could move up from 4-1, they did that. But a guy like Travis Konechny, when it really matters, I'm looking forward to seeing him just put his foot in the gas pedal and really, really go out there on the ice and not just get in their minds, but also, you know, put up some points. Let's see you score some goals. And obviously the assist totals was great against the Caps, but I want to see TK be the all-star during the playoffs.
Wow,
too.
Okay, that's a great one. That's a young player that, if he's able to do that, and he's one of those guys on the playoff stage, on the biggest stage, the most important time in sports, to elevate his game. I think he's absolutely capable of it, and I think another part of that is because of the line that he plays with, and Kevin Hayes and Scott Laughton, they were phenomenal. 13 points in the three games. So that's a great one. Travis Konecny is a great one.
I think part of me also thinks, like, I feel like Claude Giroux is going to have a great playoff, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think Kevin Hayes is going to have a great playoff. So it's the guy that has been kind of quiet through these first three games that I want to take that next step.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. You just mentioned the points they had on that line with Hayes and Law, and they're playing great, and Claude's been playing well. So let me see TK take that next step. And if you could have three players on a line playing at an elite level, let's go.
Yeah, well, the top line with Couturier, Giroux, and Voracek, and Voracek will be a game-time decision if it's not announced yet. That line needs to get going, too.
Yep.
And I don't know what the recipe is upon this return of the guys that are having success, or, you know, why some guys are going to get off to a better start than others in the round robin. Maybe the veteran players like Giroux, Voracek, and Couturier, they don't have the same urgency. Young players just go out and play, right?
Yeah.
That's what they do. It's just, they're just young guys. They just go out and they bust it. And maybe that's why those guys had more success in three games in the round robin over the top line who didn't score. Voracek had an assist, but and Farabee had a goal, but when he was in for Voracek. But all said and done, that top line's got to contribute. They got to be good.
Oh, yeah.
You got an opportunity now. You have all these years of playoff disappointment from 2012 till now with no playoff series wins. With Giroux and Voracek, this is the time where they got to sense the opportunity that it's not, A, it's not all on us, and B, we have an opportunity that we haven't had because we have depth, because we have more talent, because we have a strong decor with Provorov, Niskanen, and Sanheim, and Myers, and on down the line, Braun, and I mean, you can go into Ghost if he's in the lineup, or Robert Haig. You could go, and then obviously the goaltender. And the biggest takeaway I had from the three round robin games was the goaltender. And it's not the numbers, not the fact that he only gave up two goals in two games. It's not the 34 saves on 35 shots against the Bruins. It was the manner in which he looked in doing it. The dude's heart rate never went over 70 beats per minute.
Especially in the first period of the Bruins game and then the Lightning game. And you saw what happened.
Stops Kucherov on a breakaway.
Yeah, there's two breakaways and he makes a stop on in the first period.
Yep, and I talked to guys since then for Flyers Daily. And I asked him about that. When he makes that save on Kucherov, one of the most skilled players on the planet, if not the most skilled, other than Connor McDavid, that elevated. As soon as that happened,
oh yeah,
they had jumped. As soon as it happened. And that provides team with the ability to know, we got that guy back there. And if that guy's back there, we're good. We don't have to worry about if we make a mistake. He'll bail us out. And he looks so calm and so collected. And I have to stop saying for a 21-year-old, because I think it's a disservice to him. He's just calm and collected for an elite goaltender in the NHL. And this could be the coming out party nationally for Carter Hart. For those that don't know how good he is, same thing with Provorov, same thing with Konecny.
I need to see him make 85 saves in a game first. So.
Well, that was unreal.
Come on, man.
That's the good. That's what's coming today. And again, I want to celebrate and get pumped up for this game tonight. I want to hear people's predictions on this series. I want to hear people get fired up. And I also want to expunge some of the pain that's been in our past so we can get rid of it before the puck drops tonight, presumably at 8 o'clock. Presumably, I say, because hopefully none of these games go into five overtimes and push their time.
At least we got 11 a.m. hockey today.
Yeah,
I'm in on that.
Like it did the Bruins and the Canes. So here's the number. And Flyer fans, look, I know you've gotten shortchanged. Believe me, I know. And as a guy that's flown the flag, I've gotten ridiculed for doing it. On these very airwaves, damn it.
No, you?
So, you know what? Let's celebrate what's about to start today. Because this is awesome. This is fun. You're going in, and you got a shot. Look, you can't go on a run until you win the first series. And that's what's in front of us. That the players have to think that way. We don't need to think that way right now. We can look at the big picture before a series starts. So let's do it. 610-632-0975. I got to get into the Phillies at some point, too, because Andrew... Help me, please.
Yeah.
The Flyers are a saving grace right now.
My update today is just statistics in the Phillies bullpen. I hope I can say
what's their
it
ERA?
Enough.
9.87 or something?
No, 10.19.
Oh, okay.
As a team. And you have, hold on, let me see this here. Where am I? 8 members in the bullpen have an ERA of 8 or higher right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, six, because two of them got put down to the minors, but I'm going to count them. Eight members of a bullpen
that have appeared.
Yep. That Matt Klentak thought, like, these were guys. Like, these, oh, yeah, this is going to be a guy that helps us out this year. Unbelievable.
I would say pull an arm out of the crowd, only there's no crowds.
Yeah.
You'd be better off. It is amazing. 610-632-0975. Let's get pumped up, everybody. I know the Flyers put out a hype video today. This is your audio version. This should be the audio version on these airwaves today, equal to a hype video. And we're going to send the recording to the team.
Okay. All right? Sounds good. All right. Oh, and by the way, in case you've missed it, I like the Voracek song.
The Voracek song?
The locker room song that they play after they win.
Oh.
So I will play it throughout the day.
Okay. I asked that to a player. Somebody on Twitter hit me up and said, can you find, what's the song called? I forget.
Two Times by Ann Lee.
Yeah. Horrible.
I love it.
Do you?
Yeah, it's just completely grown on me.
Okay. Well, somebody asked me to ask a player next time I have him on if they're still playing it. So I think it was Phil Myers that I asked, and he said, yep, we're still playing it after every win.
Of course.
So hopefully that song gets 16 more spins.
Damn right. I'm going to put this at number one on the chart.
16 more two times, and boom. You're going down Broad Street. An empty Broad Street. Let's go to CD Dan. Starts us off on the Fanatic. Hey, CD Dan.
Yeah, what's going on, Jack?
What's up, buddy?
Not much, but I actually owe you an apology because I was one of the guys that I couldn't see me getting in the sports returning at all. And, mm-hmm. you did a whole show of, like, just try to keep the mindset on enjoy the sports and worry about the other things outside. Dude, I can't express to you how awesome last night was. It felt like just normal time. It really did, dude. It was intense.
Because you escaped into a game, Dan, right? You fell into a game and escaped into it.
Dude, it wasn't even a Philadelphia game. It was mm-hmm. awesome. And did it look like to you that they got tired at all out?
No, I was stunned. The level of play never dropped off in 6.5 hours of busting it and spilling it.
You're talking about the first night. I got chills from that, man. And you have some of the, in my opinion, you have some of the best announcing in hockey on TV. So it just it didn't miss a beat at all. And it kind of goes to speak for the whole NHL and even the Flyers themselves. Is I think they brought a sense of normalcy better than any sport. Baseball's done a good job with it.
Mm-hmm.
The Sixers are the Sixers, so there's a lot of turmoil. But when you look at the Flyers, dude, there's not many complaints. So you haven't heard stories of players going out or doing this in the league. And I brought it up yesterday that I think the Flyers team has a 2017 Philadelphia Eagles, like the depth. There's no real outlining star. Maybe Carter Hart, you could say, but I just feel like it's a. And they got a lot of depth, man. And I think they're extremely dangerous, Jay.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I think they're believing themselves, dude. I think they're really starting to believe themselves.
Well, that coach, too. Thanks, Danny. That coach has them believing. He's done a tremendous job. Alain Vigneault has been unbelievable for this team with the accountability that he's brought in. He sat JVR because he didn't like the way he played that first game against Boston in the round robin. And he scratched him. And it was because of his poor play. I mean, JVR didn't need to shower after the Boston game. And the coach knew it. So he put him on the pine. So that accountability didn't end when the pause ended. And the team knows they got to come back and they got to be really good. Because if you want to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish, and Vigneault's been to a final twice, you can. Everybody's got to be pulling on the rope as hard as they can in the same direction. I know it's a cliche, but it's true. You see what it takes to win in those playoffs? What those guys are willing to do to try to get that trophy? And they'll do everything in their power to get it. And Montreal's going to be a team that feels a lot different than they did when the pause happened after beating the Penguins in four. I think that was more of an indictment on the Penguins than it was necessarily that Montreal's great, because I don't think Montreal's great. And I think the Flyers will handle them. I think the Penguins look really old and disinterested, which is a whole other story. 610-632-0975. Everybody on hold. Hang on. We're going to get to everybody today because this is the radio version of a hype video. And I want people to get pumped up. Is there anything better in sports than playoff hockey and sudden death overtime.
A good bullpen.
But, like, you look for the great things in sports. And, like, Mike Milbury last night was advocating to go to 4-on-4 or 3-on-3 or a shootout in playoff hockey as opposed
that's
to multiple. Because he became disinterested because he was missing his dinner. It's one of the greatest things in sports. The first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs may be the best round in all of sports. It is chaos. 610-632-0975. Quick timeout. Back to the phones after this on The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. Anthony off today. It's Jason Martinez. Flyers begin a journey today. 10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style of windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for a full 12 months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. 610-632-0975. Andrew, the Flyers put out a hype video today. I haven't checked it out yet.
I just watched it.
Is it good? Can we play the audio of it? Would it be a good audio hype video?
There's a lot of just faint background play-by-play noise, so it doesn't really translate.
It doesn't lend?
And there's a lot of words on the screen.
Okay.
Maybe we'll dub you over it.
Dub me over?
And you'll read the words that are up on the screen.
I can narrate it if you
will. We can do that during the break.
Okay, yeah, we'll narrate it. Should I do like my movie trailer voice?
100%.
So like what is some of the stuff it says like, today the journey begins? You know, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, to compete for the Stanley Cup.
In a world where the cup has eluded Philadelphia for 45 years. That kind of stuff?
Yeah, kind of stuff. You have AV is in it a little bit. You have some announcers.
DNF and Flyer?
Yeah. there was one part that really got me, and I don't know who the analyst was, but it says, teams are afraid of the Flyers right now. And when I heard that quote, It sent the chills.
That might have been Kenny Danico, the former Devil.
Okay.
It might have been. I know he said that at one point on NHL Network. All right, 610-632-0975. It's the radio hype version. Hype video is what's going on here today. 610-632-0975. Greg in Bethlehem's on the Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, Jason and other guys. I think the Flyers, one of the Flyers' big advantages is they get contributions across the board. You know, they haven't relied, except for Carter Hart, on any one guy to be the guy. You know, everybody, it seems, when they have an opportunity, chips in. The defense supports when they need to and rotates when they need to, and they seldom seem to be out of place. So they seem to have bought into AV's system. I like their chances. You know, they really look like they're energetic and won't quit until they win.
Yeah, and the thing is, and you're right about the defense, Greg, they jump into the play so well, especially guys like Sanheim and Myers, because they're such elite skaters.
Right.
They know if they jump in the play, they got the wheels to get back and get back into a defensive position or chase a play and create back pressure. And Elaine's system, it's not that different from the system that they ran under Dave Hackstall, but it is a pressure the puck system. And you saw it in the Tampa game in particular after Hart made that save, and especially through the second period, where and you saw it against Boston, you saw it at points against Washington too, where they had no answer for the Flyers' forecheck. It looked like there were seven players on the ice for the Flyers in the offensive zone, and the opposition looked like they had four because they kept turning them over and getting second chance opportunities on zone possessions, and that's how they scored two of the goals against Tampa. You know, with that pressure, they run a forecheck called a 2-1-2, and they were all over them. And if the forwards are doing their job and getting in on that forecheck, they create opportunities.
Sure. Well, one of the things We've seen with the Flyers in past years, you know, is when they face that kind of pressure defensively, the tendency is to want to rush to get the puck out, and you make a bad pass, and next thing you know, you're giving it away at center ice, and the other team, you know, has got a good chance. So, you know, the Flyers are making opportunities for themselves with that pressure, which is nice to see.
Yeah. What's your prediction for this series, Greg, against Montreal and Carey Price?
I'd like to say a sweep, but I'm gonna say 4-1, I guess.
Okay, so you got Flyers in five.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Obey Cabell is my guy that's going to
step it up.
Yeah, he's going to be the cream that rises to the top.
Yeah, he's a forechecking machine, too. And he had two goals in the game against Tampa, the first two, his first two playoff goals. And this guy, I think he played 36 or so regular season games this year, come out of nowhere. And just been a huge, huge shot in the arm for the team.
Yeah, but that's part of that depth that we keep on talking about. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, even Gossespierre, right? He's been in the league for a few years. He's been a healthy scratch a lot this season, especially the first two games of the round robin. He comes in, boom, two assists.
Yeah, and he was really good in the game.
Like, think about that. Like, you could have a guy that's been a healthy scratch pretty much all year round, and then all of a sudden he comes in and gives you two assists. Yeah,
he's a guy that could be a massive X factor, because he's like one of those confidence players in sports. You can see when he has it, and you can see when he doesn't.
Right.
Just then the way they carry themselves in the field of play. Like, sometimes you just see guys, you go, the way they stand at the plate, you know, their body language, whatever it might be, a quarterback with shrugging, sagging shoulders, or in basketball. You know when a guy's going, and those guys that feed off confidence, and he's one of those guys. If he has that, then, and he's that dynamic player that he has been at points in his career.
I saw when he first came up.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
right? He was 10 goals in whatever amount of games.
He set the record.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it was tremendous. I think he had 16 in his rookie year and didn't play in a ton of games. So, I mean, yeah, you're right. He's a guy, and he said that he feels healthier now than he's felt in the last 2 years.
Now what's the decision? Does he get more ice time?
I don't even know that he's dressed for the first game.
Because I heard the broadcast in the second game of the round robin against Washington, the Flyers were struggling with the power play. And they made the good point saying, you know, if they continue to struggle with the power play, maybe we see Ghost back on the ice because of the, you know, a slap shot. I don't know.
He's a good high point line. Man.
Yeah,
on power
exactly.
Play. Yep.
So, and then we end up seeing him in game three and he has two assists.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I wonder if you don't think he might dress?
I don't know. Look, Elaine's got some tough decisions because he's got to figure out if he puts him in or. Yeah, or if he goes with Braun and Haig or as that third pairing defenseman and penalty killers. But if the power play does continue to struggle and it didn't score in the preseason with Provorov as your high point man on the number one power play, then that could be the ticket into the lineup for Shane Gostisbehere. Let's go to Mike in Bucks County on the Fan. What's up, Mike?
Jason, how are you?
What's going on, man?
I am so excited. I just wanted them playing well in the round robin. That's all I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact went 4-1, from 4th to 1, I mean, that is just, you know, it's like Christmas morning for me with that. That being said, what is the deal with JVR? He has all the tools. He has size, he has speed, he has hands. Why can't he put it together?
Look, I wonder, and this is just me kind of off the top of my head wondering, Mike, if a player like JVR had a hard time getting up for those games that really didn't matter. Yeah, they matter because they can, you know, improve your seeding, which is just theoretical anyway, because, you know, in the NHL playoffs, any seed can win, especially this year. But I wonder if he just had a hard time getting up for those games. He didn't have a bad camp. I thought he looked decent in camp, and I was out there a lot. But you're right. In the first game in particular, he just didn't look interested in going after it. You know what I mean? Getting after it. In the third game, when he got back in, I thought he looked a little bit better. But you're right. Now that the games matter and you're playing for your playoff lives in a best of seven, is he going to be a player that can be a difference maker or a major contributor? That he needs to be, because he's a guy that's got great hands and can score and be a good net front.
Yes. And, I mean, I think G is going to have a nice playoff run.
Well, and he's a little bit in the same boat as JVR. I thought he played well defensively, but look, that line's got to, they didn't score. And they got to be better. If they're going to go far, that top line, I don't care how much depth you have, you're paying those guys to be great. They better be great.
Yes, I agree. But I guess in my eyes, Giroux, especially the last few seasons, I know he takes a lot of heat, and I don't understand why, but when he needs to step up, when you get a tying goal, that game-winning goal, you know, that spark, I see that from him. So he has some credit in the bank for me. JVR, like, it seems like his entire career, like, I can probably name, do you remember the game they played, it might have been it was against Boston. It was years ago. It was literally the game after Osama bin Laden was taken out. And JVR, a North Jersey kid, and like it was, there was some story about like a friend of his father died in
the tower.
And JVR went out that night and took over the game.
But he had a thanks for the call, Mike. He had a playoff series before they traded him the first time that he was a beast in. He was incredible. But you need to see it more consistently. Now, you don't have to be incredibly great like that all the time because that's not sustainable. But he's got a level he can go to, and he needs to go there. Giroux needs to go there. Voracek needs to go there. Those guys have been here through all these disappointing first-round knockouts every other year since 2012. Now they got an opportunity with depth and goaltending and coaching to do something special. So they got to be great. Whereas all those years when it was one and done, it was on them and on them only because they had no other options. Now they have other options, but that doesn't mean they can't be great. They need to be great. They're getting paid to be great. 610-632-0975. Let's go to media and talk to Ryan on the Fanatic. What's up, Ryan?
Yo, Jason.
How you doing, man?
Hey, so first off, I'm doing good. Hey, Junis. Flyers, man, super excited. Before I get to my quick Phillies rant here, love what AV's doing, love the accountability. I think Flyers in five. I think Carey Price steals them a game, but I think the Flyers overmatch them. I have a lot of confidence in them. Secondly, here with the Phillies, I don't even know where to start. I mean, just awful. I mean, first off with the bullpen, you got guys like Neres and Alvarez who were trying to act and the organization is trying to sell you that they're like the port in the storm of this terrible bullpen. Those guys are average at best on a standard MLB team. Mm-hmm. They're just serviceable bullpen guys. The other guys don't even belong in the league, period. So that's that. I mean, Hoskins is playing now. You know, he was playing in the field like he was at the plate. No confidence.
Yep.
You got to have he clearly doesn't have the confidence. He got called off. He was under that ball instantly, exactly in the right position, and he gets called off by Segura. And you just, you know.
He should have gave Segura a freaking stiff arm is what he should have done. And say,
yeah. I mean, how big is he? 6'3", 2 something? Like, just stand there and make the catch.
Yeah.
All right? So, that's what you got to do. I don't want to hear the whole Segura call them. Just stand there and make the catch.
Yeah, you call him back off in that situation.
Exactly. And then Scott Kingery comes up in the extra innings, right? You're struggling to keep your batting average over 100. And the guys, the pitcher clearly is not locating. He starts you off 2-0. They miss by a mile. And then he throws you one that's a foot and a half inside, and you hack at it.
Yeah.
And you end up striking out.
They're so fundamentally flawed, Ryan. Here's the thing with this team that pisses me off is a couple things. Number one, and I didn't want to get angry today, but you're making me, you're not making me angry. You're bringing up what makes me angry. This Phillies organization and their lack of ability to find arms, draft and develop talent is so, I caught myself, so putrid. It's an embarrassment. I see arms all over baseball. Yep. Andrew, you see arms all over baseball, and we don't have any of them. Like, what is the deal here? Why can't this team draft? They drafted at the high in the Major League Baseball draft, yep. And what do they have to show for it?
Nothing.
Garbage.
It's terrible. And then I blame Roman Quinn's antics, so to speak, in center field partially on Girardi and this organization because they can't pick a center fielder.
and that guy's out there fighting for a job. They've made it a Haseley and Quinn competition, and he's trying to make dynamite Superman plays now to get his position in center field.
So frustrating.
It's absurd. You got a guy coming up on second base in the next inning, even if that guy was going to score from second, which that ball was lined right at the center fielder, so he's probably not going to score. But even if that guy, you give up one run, you get a guy on second.
Exactly. And you keep the ball in front of you.
Why would you ever do that?
Yeah. Well, they're so frustrating because as long as Klentak and McPhail, who I despise, are here, you got a problem. You got a problem because they don't draft and develop well. The organization needs to be flipped over from that standpoint. Because look at the proof. Look what you have. Look what you don't have. It's so frustrating. And the fact that the general manager and the president, McPhail, wanted to keep that other manager when Joe Girardi was available should tell you all you need to know. That they're donkeys and they don't know what they're doing. And it's irritating because...
I love Cap.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Give me a break. That's insulting. That is absolutely insulting to you fans. It's a joke, right?
Yeah, the lucky number today is 8. 8 members of your bullpen have an ERA of 8 or higher.
That's ridiculous.
8.
Andrew, that is hard to do. You know
what's crazy? I mean, that's the sexy story is the bullpen struggles. You look at the Phillies lineup right now, obviously guys like Harper and Realmuto, they're going nuts. Kingery, McCutcheon, and Gene Segura, 3 guys that are in your everyday starting lineup, are hitting below 200 right now.
Oh, my God.
And McCutcheon, remember, the season's going to be great because McCutcheon's back. He's an aging player that's coming off a severe injury.
Yeah.
So it's 3 players in your everyday starting lineup batting below 200, and then Rhys Hoskins, because he's gotten a few hits in the last couple of games, is hitting out 211. So if you want to go 215 or lower, you have 4 guys in your everyday starting lineup.
Yeah.
4!
This is the look at young players like Rhys Hoskins. Look at a guy like Kingery. I'm glad they gave him that contract.
Yep.
I mean, come on.
He's hit 100. 100.
That you could hit 100.
Get lucky. Close my eyes and swing.
It's amazing the ineptitude of the organization at developing talent. The 2 guys that are going, they didn't develop. They had to trade for them. And the one guy, his contract is up, and they haven't talked to him.
Yeah, how ridiculous is that?
Oh,
I sent you that text. It was Rob Motti reported it as soon as I saw it.
Ugh.
And I'll read it for the audience in a second when I can pull this up. But yeah, Rob Motti is reporting that the Phillies, here we go, I'm told JT Realmuto hasn't set a deadline for contract talks with the Phillies because there haven't been discussions since the pandemic shutdown. He has never received an actual offer. He'd be willing to discuss a deal during the season, but the team hasn't initiated talks. Are you kidding me?
You know, if I'm JT Realmuto, you know what I say?
I'm out.
I don't want to be here until you're going to do things the right way. And why would I believe that even if you do make a change, you're going to hire the right people? Because you haven't. Other than Joe Girardi, I think, look, Girardi hasn't been perfect, but Joe Girardi's in an impossible position. You stick that slop in the bullpen and ask him to manage it? Are you kidding? Could you imagine trying to manage with that out there?
It's ridiculous. And before people go, Gabe Kapler, no, we talked about it all last year.
Yeah, this is a joke.
Gabe Kapler had to deal with these bullpen arms too. And I always gave Gabe Kapler the benefit of the doubt when it came to managing the bullpen in certain situations. But, I mean, man, it's even worse this year. You've 8 guys in the ERA over 8.
That's hard to do.
And the sad thing is, it's guys that you kind of depended on coming into the season. It's Tommy Hunter, who said last week, don't push the red button too soon. All right, his ERA is over 8. Hector Neris, your closer, ERA is over 8. Adam Morgan got it below 8 yesterday, but his ERA is in the 7s. He's a guy you depend on. Diolis Guerra, who they called up, his ERA is over 10. Like, think about this. It's guys that, it's not Cole Irvin that you're bringing in for slop when you're down 10 runs.
Yeah.
No, it's guys that you actually depended on. Nick Pivetta, they had to send down.
It's a joke. How about Kingery's batting average is 100 and his on-base percentage is 163?
Outrageous.
Oh, my God.
It's outrageous. And Ryan in media just made the point. Not only is he struggling and he's swinging at a 2-0 pitch on the inside, why can't you bunt?
Yeah.
You're down a run because Jay Bruce already knocked in the run.
Oh,
I get it. You don't want to give up the out. I get all that kind of stuff. But when you're hitting 100 or at the time, like what, 111 maybe? and this goes back to Girardi. This is not a Kingery thing. He's got to get the sign. But the dude was 0 for 4 yesterday going up to his fifth plate appearance.
And he's lost.
Totally
lost. He's a babe in the woods.
So maybe drop the bunt down, get Bruce to second. Now you have a runner on second, one out. You hope to tie it. Instead, not a productive out. You know.
Yet they're 5-7 and only 2.5 out in the division. but
behind the first place Marlins.
Yeah, behind the first place Marlins, right? Unbelievable. They are so frustrating. I just want to, like, I was so excited about the return of sports. I did that whole show that all the teams can contend. And it's still pseudo early for the Phillies, even in a shortened season. But I have no belief that they'll get it together.
Well, because they can score 9 runs and lose.
And exactly.
They scored 13 against the Braves the other day. They were up 13-1 and gave up 7 runs in the ninth inning.
And it ends up 13-8.
Like, they can lose any game. It doesn't matter how many runs they score. They can lose.
It's so pathetic. And as long as McPhail and Klentak are here, John Middleton, I had such high aspirations for him as a smart guy and a guy that wanted to win. And when he had to convince his general manager, or not convince, but override his general manager and president to move on from Gabe Kapler to get Joe Girardi, that should have been all he needed to know. That should have been the sign. I got the wrong two guys trying to pick and develop talent here. That should have been all I needed to know. And I remember what was it, 2 years ago, Andrew? I did the untouchable list, and I didn't put Reese Hoskins on the list, and people murdered me for it. You know why he wasn't untouchable? Because they don't develop homegrown talent. They don't, and they won't. Yeah, Aaron Nola is a good pitcher, and there's some outliers once in a while. But with this regime, look at their drafting. Oh, goodness. It's pathetic.
Nola's been pretty good the last two stuff.
Yeah, Nola's been, exactly. I like Nola. He's not an absolute true ace. He's a 2-1, a really good team. But the rate they're going, they ain't going to be a really good team, so it's not going to matter. 610-632-0975, that's the number. A couple open lines. I had to get that out about the Phillies. And if you want to vent about it, by all means, do it. But we're also talking Flyers, and we're getting pumped up. And I'm excited about what's to begin tonight. Tonight, the journey begins. Where does it go? It's like clicking up the hill on the roller coaster. And then you get to the top and they drop you. And you have no idea. Turns, loops, everything. What's this going to be like, this run for the Flyers? 610-632-0975. Anthony off today. It's Jason Martinez, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Andrew Salchunas here. A lot of stuff to bet on right now, right? We got baseball, we got basketball, we got hockey. But coming up this weekend, another big event, UFC 252, will be on August 15th, and there's no better place to bet on the action with all the sports and UFC 252 than on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. You know it's my favorite app. FanDuel Sportsbook has a special UFC 252 offer for new users. You sign up with my code FANATIC and you'll get exclusive 25-1 odds on Cormier versus Miocic to win their title fight at UFC 252. So you can bet either fight or win, then just bet $5 for a chance to win $125. That's crazy. FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. You know I love all the prop bets that I've been doing. You know I love the over-unders in baseball games. I hit on New York yesterday over Atlanta to bet on. I bet the over and I bet New York to win. Parlayed it. Boom. They've got a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet that you're looking for and then lock it in. And once you win, FanDuel Sportsbook, well, they get your cash in as little as 24 hours. Type in FanDuel.com/fanatic to claim your exclusive 25-1 odds on Cormier versus Miocic at UFC 252 to win their title fight on UFC 252. That's FanDuel.com/fanatic. Must be 21 or older, present New Jersey or PA. New users only. Max bonus is $125. Minimum $10 deposit required. Restrictions apply. See full terms and conditions at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.